Hi, I'm here with Stephen Asprey, Chairman of the Professional Ethics Committee. Hi, Stephen. Stephen, I understand there's been a lot of work undertaken by the committee to update the current Code of Conduct. Can you tell me where the code has been updated?
How nice to see you, Sean. Good morning. Well, we've had a code for about 20 years or so now, and a couple of years ago the committee felt it was absolutely timely to have a good look at our professional standards and to see whether the message that we give to all of the members of IOSH is absolutely clear. We asked ourselves some other questions. You know, are the expectations of society the same as they were 20 years ago? I mean, let's be clear, IOSH has a royal charter. It's the largest health and safety body in the world, and we want to differentiate that professional advice that IOSH members give, all 42,000 or so of them, from the advice of people who are not so qualified. Whenever I speak to members, and I do get out to the branches as often as I'm able to, and I ask them about the services of a professional health and safety practitioner, there are a number of key themes that keep emerging. They keep telling me that members should be competent. They keep telling me that they should provide a great level of service to their employers, or if they're consultants, to their clients, that they should operate with respect and with integrity. So we just feel the time is absolutely right. Professional Ethics Committee wants to be highly proactive in this regard.
Okay. Now, I'm sure both of us hope that most of our members know about the existing Code of Conduct. But what is actually new about the new Code of Conduct?
Well, it's certainly a lot clearer. I'll talk a little bit, if I may, Sean, about the background to this. As I mentioned, over the last couple of years, we've wanted to refine this code and to improve it, to make it clearer, really to make it absolutely fit for purpose. Professional Ethics Committee has got a great depth and breadth to it. We're not just actually safety and health practitioners. We have people on our committee who are solicitors. We have people with military backgrounds. We have people from the public and private sector. We have people who live and work and consult in the UK and from around the world. So I'm very keen that we are able to take a look at all of the codes around the world. We've looked particularly at accountancy. We've looked at law and healthcare professions to see the sorts of things that they have in their codes. And we've also been to some of the branches, as I mentioned. I certainly remember the nice people of the Midlands branch who welcomed me on an afternoon, and we had a couple of hours talking about the code. I also remember a very wet evening in Stafford when I spoke to the North Midlands district about the code.
Okay.
The professional, the ethical practice manager, Simon Buckler, I know has been to some branches. I think he went to Chilton branch from memory, and I know that he's also spoken to the BEADERs, the branch education development advisors. So what's new in the code? Truthfully, not a lot's new. It's expressed a lot clearer. The code, we have guidance on each of the code points. We've also taken this opportunity to review and revise the associated disciplinary procedures. We think that's all in the public interest. And Sean, frankly, the bottom line is we've done this work for the members, and it's been created by the members.
Okay, and that's an important point, isn't it? I mean, to all intents and purposes, this new Code of Conduct has been written largely by members for members. It's been a big consultation process, and of course you're a member of 30 years experience as well, so it's not something a diktat that's come from the Grange.
That's right, Sean. I've been a member for the best part of 30 years, and I've been involved in head office committees and council for about half of that time. Our general observation is this. Historically, use of the IOSH Code of Conduct has been driven by complaints. And when one member offends another, when one disagrees with another, or when there is a criminal conviction, unbelievably, amongst our members, we do get one or two of those. We also have very particular things that we're aware of, such as members passing off their qualifications, you know, adding C-MIOSH, C-FIOSH to their CVs and business cards that they're not entitled to. I mean, quite obviously, that is a lack of respect for the profession, and it fails, or it's likely to fail, the service that a client is thinking they have purchased.
Okay.
So over the years, we've investigated these matters. We publish the cases on our website. It's on the Regulating Our Profession tab, if anybody wishes to take a look at that.
Okay. When is the new code of conduct going to be published?
The new code of conduct, you're first going to get the chance to have a look at this on the 18th of February. I think most members will receive the Connect Bulletin. There'll be a short article in there. And you'll get the links to the website. And we obviously want you to download them and become very familiar with those documents. Heading forwards from here, we really do want the members to be much more familiar with those four standards: integrity, competence, respect, and service. You'll read all about the details of those within the code. And then in the forthcoming edition of SHP magazine, you'll see an article that's been written by the committee that describes this in much more detail. Do you know, Sean, some people have said to me over the years that CPD involves going on training courses. I really do think this is the perfect opportunity for people to professionally develop by having a good look at our code. And if they feel they've learned from it, they really should claim CPD credits within their next CPD return.
And you mentioned the website. I presume that's the first port of call for members wanting to find out more.
I think that's a really good place to start, Sean. I think this code of conduct, as we've written it, in the future we want people to really see this as a yardstick for all of their practice. As I said, the history is of driven by complaints. We want this in the future to guide members' behaviour in the same way that a health and safety management system proactively helps an organisation to reduce their health and safety losses and their incidents. We think proactively using the code will much diminish the likelihood of those complaints in the future.
Okay.
I'll give a couple of examples. You know, imagine for a moment that a consultant or an employee health and safety manager is proposing a particular sort of personal protective equipment, recommends it very strongly, and then later we discover that the PPE is supplied by their brother or a member of their family. You know, these are the sorts of things we would want our members to think about very carefully now. If they're asked to amend a report by their boss, we'd want them to think about integrity, competence, respect, and service. When they submit their expenses, when they use their mobile telephone while driving, when they contemplate whether their CPD is up to date or not, we want them in their minds, it's on their membership cards, to think about integrity, competence, respect, and service, and the implications firstly for themselves, next the implications for IOSH, the world's largest chartered body for occupational health and safety practice, and then finally, of course, the implications on the public and their perception of us as a profession.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thanks for taking the time out to speak to us today, Stephen, and all the best.
Sean, it's been a pleasure.
Cheers.